In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, we ask you to teach us, especially by your holy word. Help us to observe your sacred feasts and to celebrate them with devotion. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The passages that we have today, we're now into Leviticus, and I went ahead and added in a few other passages. They'll be very straightforward, and you'll see why I added them in. But I thought it's helpful to just take the raw data in Leviticus and then develop it a bit so we can connect it to other things that we might be familiar with as well. As we go through, we'll talk about each of these different types of sacrifice and feast days and so forth. One thing I'm not going to try to do, and let me see, it's good to define our scope, what our point is. The point of this study is to look at Old Testament, well, in particular Old Testament things, to connect them to the Mass. So we look at the types of sacrifices, the types of offerings, the feast days, and so forth. So our primary goal is not to try to understand every detail of these Old Testament institutions. What we're looking at is to get a sense of what they are so we can apply them to the Mass. So if I don't go into every detail, as I was doing some of the work to do the foundation for this, there is a lot of detail we could get into, and we could spend an entire hour just on the first five passages from Leviticus if we wanted to. But I think that's getting too mired down in detail that I'm not sure is so important for us here. So that's my scope. That's the point of what we'll try to do. There are several different types of offerings. Now, you notice in Leviticus 1:3, there's a mention of the burnt offering, or what they call the holocaust, the burnt offering. Now, I gave you just, like, single verses. Did anyone go any further and kind of, like, read on? Like, well, what is this holocaust offering? Did you feel like you wanted to read on a little bit more? Which is okay if you did. It gets very repetitive about you do this, and you take the fat from the kidney or from the liver, and this and with the inner organs, and this, and okay, and all of that type of thing. So it's all very technical in there. But rather than have you jump into all of the technical elements of that, the first offering that's mentioned then is the holocaust or the burnt offering. One of the things about the idea of a burnt offering or that term holocaust, where that word comes from, it's the idea of the sacrifice being completely consumed. Now, it's interesting that holocaust is the first of the offerings that's mentioned in the scripture, and there's a sense in which this is the most sacred. This is one of the most important. This is one of those sacrifices where the entire thing is consumed. That's the key to understanding what is significant about the holocaust. If the entire sacrifice is consumed, that means the entire thing is given to the Lord. It is burned up and then sent to the Lord. Now, that's unique to other sacrifices because they wouldn't consume or burn the entire sacrifice. Do you know what happened if they didn't consume the entire sacrifice, where it went? If it wasn't all burnt up on the altar? A portion of it went to the Levites, because that was what was given to the Levites in order to provide for them. Remember, the Levites were the priestly tribe, so they did not get any portion of the land. Their heritage is the Lord. And so it was the responsibility of the other 11 tribes to offer sacrifices. These would be brought to the Levites to offer up, and the Levites would do that, but a portion of those offerings was reserved to the Levites in order to sustain them. Their job was to do the work of the temple, the work of sanctifying the people. And so how do they support themselves if not through some portion of the offerings that come in? So the thing that's distinctive about the holocaust is none of it was kept by any human. It was entirely burnt up. It was entirely offered to the Lord. And one of the things you'll notice about the holocaust or the burnt offering, when they talk about it being entirely offered to the Lord, is it's almost always an animal sacrifice. So this is an animal, and so connected with the holocaust would be the slaughter of the animal, and then you would also have the blood. So the blood would also be part of the offering. When they would do this, any time there is an offering, especially of an animal, the animal would be brought in. The person who is making the offering would bring the animal, would lay hands on the animal, which is a way of demonstrating that this is my offering that is given, and then it would have to be slaughtered. You hand it over to the priest, and then the priest take it inside the sanctuary area, and then the priest would take it to the altar, would offer up what is to be offered on the altar, would consume whatever there is a portion of the offering. If it was given to the priest, they could consume that portion, and then they would dispose of the animal in the end. There's a distinction, then, you might say, between the outer court and then into the sanctuary. The person doing the offering does everything that you would do that's part of the outer court, and then once the slaughtered animal is brought in, then the priests do everything that happens on the inner part of the court, as they would take the animal and then place it upon the altar and then complete those rituals that would be done there. So that's the idea of a Holocaust offering. Now, one of the things, this is where this gets a little tricky. As we go through, you're going to see Holocaust offerings or burnt offerings, cereal offerings, wave offerings, guilt offerings. And you might ask, well, when did they do these things? Well, part of the difficulty in answering that question is that as time goes on throughout the history of Israel, some of these are traditions that evolve as time continues. So I'm not going to be able to give you a real specific indication of exactly when each type of offering was used, except to say that the Holocaust or the burnt offering was, in particular, a very solemn event. And so that was something that would mark something of special importance. So that much we can say. But let me go through just a couple other passages. These are ones that I've added to the list today. Let me just read Genesis 22. This is the Abraham and Isaac story. Remember, they were going to sacrifice Isaac. So here's that verse. Here's verse 2. God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains on which I will tell you." So when we go back, now we've done this passage already because we're familiar with the sacrifice of Isaac, but there's a reference in there to a burnt offering. That's why Isaac had to carry with him the wood that was going to be used for the burnt offering. Now, this was one of the most significant moments in the Abraham story of Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac, and the sacrifice was to be a burnt offering of the type that we just described, a complete offering of the thing being sacrificed up to the Lord. Okay, it just highlights the solemnity of that particular event. That was a significant thing. I mean, if you think about it, it might even really make that notion of that sacrifice even more, even stronger than we looked at before, because it's not just simply that he has to sacrifice his son or slay his son, but has to completely offer up. It's a complete immolation, a complete offering of Isaac. Pretty significant thing. Exodus 29, verse 18. Here's another mention of a Holocaust or a burnt offering. This is during the time of the ordination of Aaron and his sons. So Exodus 29, verse 18. I'll just read it here. And burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a pleasing odor, an offering by fire to the Lord. This was the ordination sacrifice. One of the reasons for making this a burnt offering or a Holocaust is because the ordination of Aaron and his sons was a special moment of particular import. So here at this very solemn event, at this significant moment, they would offer up a burnt offering. So that ordination ram, it's not one of the lesser offerings or one of the ones that, you know, is partially consumed. The whole thing must be consumed to mark the solemnity of the ordination. There's another detail in here which is worth noting. Exodus 29:18. It says, "It is a pleasing odor, an offering by fire to the Lord." The idea is that in burning something up, what happens to something when you burn it? The smoke goes up. So the idea is the offering goes up to heaven. And there is different times in the scriptures when it mentions that God having received the pleasing odor, the pleasing aroma. I don't know if you've ever burnt an animal, but it's always said to be a pleasing odor, a pleasing aroma, because in offering the sacrifice, the idea is that you offer it in its totality, so it's the whole thing goes up, and God takes pleasure in that sacrifice that is offered. So there's a sense there in which it's that idea of the odor that goes up. We'll come back to that in a little bit, but there's That sacrifice that is offered, it's given to the Lord, and He receives it in the form of the aroma or the odor that rises forth. Then we go on to 1 Kings 18. This is another mention of a kind of a holocaust. Now, this is a passage we have not looked at yet, but it'll be familiar, I think, when you hear the passage. It's the showdown between Elijah and the priests of Baal when they're going to offer a sacrifice to find out whose God is really God. Okay. Do you remember this passage as he goes up Mount Carmel? I'll read the passage here. This is a little bit of a longer passage, so you are welcome to follow along if you want in 1 Kings 18. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose one bull from themselves and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." Okay, so is that passage familiar, the great showdown? And then the taunting begins. Elijah begins his taunting, let's see. The people then agree and answer. They say that it is well spoken. Verse 25. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Then choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God and put no fire to it." And they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped about the altar which they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god, and either he is musing, or he has gone aside, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be wakened." And they cried aloud and slashed themselves after their custom with swords and lances until blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice, no one answered, and no one was listening. I mean, that really is a great line there. Verse 30, then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near me." The people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. And so you have this now ritual action as he rebuilds the altar. He takes the 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar. You know what the purpose of the trench was? Well, in this case, they put water there. But one of the reasons for putting a trench around the altar, because you know what they would end up doing on the altar? There'd be all the blood on the altar. So one of the things about the trench is actually a normal aspect of the altar. Ordinarily, as a reservoir, is a place for the blood to be collected. But in this case, they're going to fill it instead with water. That will be unique in this case. Verse 33, and he put the wood in order, and he cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood, and he said, "Fill four jars with water, pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." So the whole thing is going to be drenched. He says, "Do it a second time." He says, "Do it a third time," and they did it three times. How many jars of water? Four jars of water poured three times. 12 jars of water. Okay, there you are. Okay. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench with the water. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, so this would be at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant, that I have done these things at your word. Answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord is God. He is God." And Elijah said, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Let none of them escape." They seized them. He brought them down to the brook Kishon, and killed them there. So, and that was the end of the prophets of Baal, at least for that time.